This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
There are known knowns. There are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we now know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things we do not know we don't know.
The idea of tipping points in nature are now well known. The most feared include a sudden shift in global temperature, a breakup of polar ice fields, or release of frozen methane. But such sudden regime shifts happen in a huge range of natural systems. Fisheries suddenly collapse or a species unexpectedly goes extinct. If we can predict these tipping points, perhaps we can stop some of them or at least reduce the impact. A whole school of scientists have been working on this problem for several decades, since our future may depend on the answers. Recently, a body of work led by Martin Scheffer, Jay Brock, and V. Carpenter tried to analyze these rapid shifts, searching for leading indicators which could help us predict danger points. Our guest, Professor Alan Hastings from the University of California, along with UK co-author D.B. Weisham, suggests, quote, drastic changes can appear in nature without warning. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. We're going to explore this new and worrying research. The paper published in Ecological Letters is titled, Regime Shifts in Ecological Systems Can Occur with No Warning. Dr. Hastings, thank you for joining us.
Thank you as well, and that all sounds fine.
Okay, we got the introduction right. That's good. Good place to start. Well, I know that most of my listeners want to know right now whether we can predict when big systems will react to things like carbon pollution in the atmosphere, but that is jumping to conclusions. I'd like to start with an orderly outline of what your paper does say, beginning with that idea of tipping points. How do we know they exist, and could you give us an example?
So one simple example of a tipping point is changing what was not a desert into something that is a desert. If you look in the historical record, the Sahara did not used to be a desert, and by looking at the historical record, you can see it rather rapidly changed from an area with a fair amount of vegetation to the desert that it is today. And this is one prime example, and others, as you pointed out, are collapse of fisheries, and another one is a changing of a lake from its normal state to a eutrophied state where it's full of algae and other organisms.
Well, Martin Scheffer and others have been saying that we're making progress on our mathematical models and other ways of knowing when these leading indicators will happen. And your paper, if I get it right, doesn't say that that's wrong. It's just that prediction may not work for many complex systems. Is that right?
That's exactly right. There are many systems where you can begin to hope that you could understand a simple shift in regimes. And those are ones where, if you think of a ball at the bottom of a valley, it will sort of slide back and forth. And if one side of the valley starts getting lower and lower and lower, one of the mountains on the side, eventually the ball will start to slosh around more until that it will then find its way out. And this is the picture that Martin Scheffer and others have. And it applies to some systems, but unfortunately, many ecological systems, that picture is too simple a picture of the dynamics. And more complicated dynamics mean that this picture just does not apply and the ball can sort of jump out in unpredictable ways.
So you created models that included some known stresses and then some random or unknown factors. And what did you find?
Well, we found that two things. One is we started off with a general argument that draws on some old work that physicists had done to say that the picture I just described of essentially a surface of where a ball rolls around is far too simple, and that there are cases where you have the kinds of strong interactions that ecologists would look at, and the ball would just sort of jump out, that there is no smooth surface. And what we did is we put in the kinds of interactions of strong density-dependent, strongly interacting species that ecologists assume describe ecological systems, and we found regime shifts occurring with no early warning signs, as the general theory predicted.
And your models were based on population. I guess this could apply to fish, algae in a pond, or even humans.
Yes, it certainly could apply to fish or algae or pond and humans and potentially human interactions with diseases and any sort of complex system, even to things like financial markets.
I was interested in your third model, which included three species linked in a food chain. The top predator went extinct without warning. What does that tell us?
Well, that tells us that once you begin to look at the kinds of interactions that ecologists think about, we looked at one, two, or three species, but food webs and natural systems may consist of hundreds of species interacting, some of them quite strongly, that you can find relatively sudden disappearances without these early warning signs that you hope to see in general systems.
Well, given that whole species or ecosystems may depend on prediction of regime changes, especially if those models are used in resource management, say by governments or corporations, how do we know, and I know this is the key question, how do we know which ones can be safely predicted?
I think that we have to go away from looking for general signs and for trying to find very simple explanations to looking at much more careful study of particular systems and using the general ideas in looking at those particular systems, but not thinking that we can find simple signs that carry across to different systems.
Well, this is one of the subtle points of your work. You're saying that each system is so complex that it might as well be considered as unique.
Well, each system is complex, and each system has to be looked at carefully, but there are principles that apply across systems. Sometimes I like to think of this as the idea that we have principles that tell us how to build complex physical structures like bridges or build tall buildings or other complex structures, and the same principles apply, but you would not expect a bridge to behave the same way as a tall building.
All right, I think I understand that. This is Radio EcoShock. We're talking about tipping points with Dr. Alan Hastings from the University of California. You know, Alan, my reaction to your paper is to worry a bit more. If science can't tell us when tipping points are approaching, that means nature is more unstable than we thought. Does this call for more caution when trying to set limits, whether it's for fisheries or for carbon in the atmosphere?
It certainly suggests that there should be more caution and much more careful monitoring of dynamics and much more attention paid to when any potential shifts seem to be occurring.
Well, bear with me for a second here. I know you're a well-respected scientist with a long list of published papers, but when I look over some of your past work, I can almost picture a man who often concludes, "It's hard to say." Except, and correct me and if I'm wrong again, it seems you organize the science, sometimes spending up to $1 million, to prove that some predictions about nature or any complex systems are beyond us for now. And that isn't what funders and the public really want to hear. So the truth is more difficult than we want it to be. Is that partly your point?
Part of the point is that the truth is more difficult, and we have made quite a bit of progress in my own work as well in trying to understand more specific systems. And what we're saying is that just much more care is needed in developing the tools to make the kinds of predictions that we need to be able to make. And in many cases, we have used these ideas to get a better understanding of specific systems, ranging from the dynamics of marine populations, where you can set up simple approaches based on things like marine protected areas that will work in many circumstances.
So you're not advocating that we all need to learn chaos theory. There are some underlying rules that we can go by.
There are underlying rules we can go by, but understanding the complexities of dynamics is going to really help us to understand the natural world around us.
And I also thought, I wondered whether your work is a little bit subversive, and I say that because science is nothing if it's not based on prediction. We say if such and such is true, then we should find this, some testable state of affairs. But some of your work seems to cut off this last leg. If we can't say when complex systems will react, is science still really possible and worthwhile?
Science is definitely worthwhile, and what we are not saying is that prediction is impossible. What we're saying is that we have to understand the kinds of predictions we are able to make and the time over which we can make the predictions. Just as a weather forecast gives us perhaps accurate predictions over a couple of days, but not over weeks, that gives us one sort of understanding. But on the other hand, we also have the kind of prediction that it's colder in the winter and warmer in the summer, and we can also make that kind of prediction. So we need to understand carefully what the kind of predictions are that we can make and use that as tools in management.
Well, you're reminding me of some comments that Sir James Lovelock made to the BBC. He said that really to just make a straight up graph of global temperature and then say what's going to happen from that, it could be foolish because there could be sudden jumps that we hadn't expected at all. And I guess that goes pretty well with the work that you've been doing.
Absolutely, that goes well with the work that we've been doing, where we're trying to understand the best ways to make predictions. And in one sense, the prediction that tipping points do exist is itself a very useful piece of information.
Well, I realize my next question is beyond the scope of your paper, but I want to ask if you personally believe that the next few years or decades could experience sudden and disturbing shifts.
Yes, I do worry about that, and there are various signs of potential problems that would cause serious shifts, ranging from changes in ocean circulation, which is potentially very worrying, to other changes even on much smaller scales in terms of cascading effects of species extinctions and changes in species ranges.
And as you said, it looks like there's plenty of room for your theory to grow. I mean, people could use it perhaps in economic markets or predicting things like oil price spikes. Do you see that there are other applications coming along for it?
Definitely. I think that trying to understand how you predict and how you manage complex interacting systems is a field that is just beginning to make real progress.
Well, have we really touched on what you would like to say to the public, or what have we left out? What would you like to add?
I would simply like to add that we definitely should not give up on trying to improve our ability to predict. And also that we've reached a stage where the human influence on the natural system is so great that just sort of trying to leave it alone as much as possible is not going to provide the kinds of safety that we need, and that we're going to have to think seriously about developing much more active management strategies for natural systems.
Well, I suppose that's the saying, if we're going to be gods, we might as well act like gods. We're going to have to do more interactive management, is what you're saying.
Absolutely, and we're doing that in terms of marine areas, and we're going to have to do that more globally, perhaps.
Our guest has been Dr. Alan Hastings, Distinguished Professor of Environmental Science and Policy at the University of California, Davis. Dr. Hastings, thanks for a better understanding of the big picture, even if it is harder than we hoped.
Thank you as well. I enjoyed talking with you.
There are known knowns, there are known unknowns, and there are unknown unknowns. Don Rumsfeld, the tough act to follow.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.